You know, everybody's always, especially at the beginning of a new year, everybody's always talking about the future and what does the future hold. Well, if you want a title for what I'm going to say now, a vision for your future. Did you know a lot of people, they don't have much vision or anything. They just sort of are drifting through life aimlessly, you know, whatever will be. They don't have any particular purpose in life. You know, if you ask them anything about their plans and the future, and they say, oh, man, I'm just trying to survive. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, I'm just trying to survive. But I believe God has something much better than just trying to survive. I think that he has a plan for our future. But turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, 9. Isaiah 46, 9. Give you time to turn there. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Now the NLT says it like this. Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I want you to notice here, he said, only I can tell you the future. You know, I think that God, or actually I believe that God, has a plan that each of us needs to carry out. I don't think that we're just walking through life aimlessly, but I believe that as we find Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that he has a design plan for us. Many people never get there, but you can. You see, God knows what you're gifted far better than anybody else, even better than yourself. You know, sometimes many people want to get involved in something that they're really not gifted to do. And being in the church all my life, growing up in the preacher's house and then traveling with them and then being in the ministry myself all of these years, I've seen people that want to get involved in things that they really are not gifted to do. But that's what they want. See, God knows best how you can be used for the benefit of yourself and the kingdom of God. See, our purpose, our divine plan and purpose should be in line with the word of God. What can we do to better the kingdom of God? And what can we do to come in line with his word concerning our own success in the future? You know, realize God wants to reveal his plan to you for the future, but sometimes we're just not ready to hear that plan because we've got our own plans. That's a good place to say amen right there. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I sort of like the way it says it in that NLT. It gets a little more down to us. When the Spirit of truth has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. See, God's not trying to hide anything from you. It's not a mystery. The thing about it is, are we really seeking his guidance? And do we really want it? There's a lot of people that they want to be born again, all right, but they're not really interested in doing exactly what God has called them to do, because it goes against their grain. It's not what they want. You know, God is looking for you to seek his face and to spend some time with him. Now, a lot of people think that means that you got to get in your prayer closet and you be in there for hours. No, it's meditating as you're driving down the road, thinking on the things of God, sitting in your out on your patio in the evening time, drinking a glass of iced tea, meditating on things of God. That's what waiting on God is. And it's in those times that God can speak to you. Get your mind clear. Go, you know, we used to go before the church started, we used to go three, four wheeling out on Little Sahara. I would take off. I would teach in the school, and I'd do weekend meetings and then come back and teach in the school. The church hadn't started. But I would take off about every 6 weeks, and we would go out and we would ride the three and four wheelers. Well, it would be many times it'd be in the cool of the evening, and I'd just ride out there by myself and get up on top of a sand dune and just park and just sort of lay back on the seat of my four-wheeler and just sort of begin and just meditate. And it's at those times that I would get answers about what to do at the school and here at the ministry. That's where you get plans for the future. You see, your life is so, man, you got the kids that got to get here, they got to get this ball practice, they got to get to this band practice, they got to get here, they got to go there, you got to do this, you got your work, you got to go to shopping, get the groceries, all these, and our minds are all filled with all this stuff. Once we need to get waiting on God to get a plan for your future. It's just clearing your mind and just relaxing and meditating on the Lord. Help me understand where I'm going, what I'm coming from, what I'm saying here. You're getting a hold of this, and it's there that the Holy Spirit will begin to talk to you. Did you realize that most of the time it does not come to you in some spectacular way, some super supernatural way? It comes to you in meditating on the Word. It comes sometimes in a dream. Hello. Now, not every dream is of the Lord. The most of them is because you eat too much pizza before you went to sleep. But turn to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, 5. Genesis 37, 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told his brothers and said, "Look, I've dreamed another dream. At this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him more, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, some people say that Joseph was probably about 17 years old when he had these dreams. You know, and in this dream, actually, God was revealing the future to Joseph, but he didn't know it. Hello? You know, these dreams didn't make sense to his brothers or his father. Sometimes when God speaks to you, you need to just keep it to yourself. You know, they thought that he was just probably just an immature teenager. But now he saw all of this, but God didn't tell him how it was going to come to pass. Many times God will talk to you and tell you things, but then he won't tell you how it's going to come to pass because he wants you to walk by faith. But then when things are not going like they should, you begin to doubt the plan. I mean, look at this. He got sold into slavery. He was falsely accused and thrown in prison. And even though he befriended some people in prison, they said, "Oh, hey, we're going to help you get out of here." They forgot about him when they got out. Now, it'd been real easy for Joseph to get really, really uptight and bitter and all kinds of things. But I want you to notice that he still believed in the dreams. You know, and we know what the rest of the story is. It happened. Like I said, he became ruler over them. In fact, he held their lives in his hand. When his brothers came to Egypt for food because of the famine, he was second in command underneath Pharaoh. There was nobody else that had any more power than Joseph had, and he held their lives in his hand. This is a great story of how God used someone, but it's also the greatest story of forgiveness that you can see anywhere. You know, Sight and Sound Theater up in Branson, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but that man actually went to one of our Rhema churches in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The guy, the head man, and he would take a Bible story and he would write a story based on that Bible story. And did any of you see Joseph when up there? I saw it three times and I cried all three times because it is the most fantastic story of forgiveness that you ever seen. But it's also a fantastic story of God giving a dream to someone about their future, and then letting it unfold. See, if you come back to Genesis 50:20, and he is talking to his brothers, and he says, "But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people's lives." You see, sometimes we don't understand the journey that we go on to finally get to the place that we're supposed to be. You know, he went through a lot of difficulties which could have sidetracked him, but he didn't. He just kept on going. You know, I'm called to the ministry as a teenager. I start knowing that that's what I'm done. I'm not saying, and so I go to Bible school. Now, while I'm in Bible school, back in those days, there was the draft. And you were drafted. Most of the older people in this congregation know what I'm talking about, selective service. And so then I had to go to the army. Now, why in the world, if God has called you to the ministry, you're studying in the Bible school, and now you get called out of that, you got to go in the army. And then you get put in a special unit, and you know, you were engaged, and that fell apart, thank God. But so was she, and it fell apart. But then, as I look back, I can begin to see that as I went on this journey, even though I had a calling, but it's this journey that I went on that put me in position for my marriage and for everything that has happened here. You know, Paul got a message from heaven. And the Lord told Ananias, said, go over and he's a chosen vessel. Bear my name for the Gentiles, king, children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then Paul, he got a hold of that. But I want to tell you what, it was a long time before he stood before kings. He did. There were a lot of things that happened to him. He's put in jail. He's left for dead. He's shipwrecked. All this. And why am I going with all of this? I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm trying to show you sometimes as you go through these things, it's the enemy trying to get you away from what God has told you to do. But if you will learn in those situations, it will help you when you get to where God wants you to be. I use things that I learned in my service time, those 3 years, all the time. Now, finally, Paul says in Acts 26, 12, Paul says, while thus occupied as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying, in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness before the things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, here is Paul in a very short synopsis telling King Agrippa about his life. And this was God's vision for his life. Therefore, King Agrippa, by verse 19, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. As God begins to lead you and guide you and direct you, may you, when you come to the end, you can say, I was not disobedient to where you were leading me and what you wanted me to do. You see, Paul went everywhere knowing that this was what he was called to do. Now you say, well, God hasn't spoke to me in that way. Well, maybe he hasn't. But the word, as you study the Word of God speaks to you about how to live righteously and not sin. It speaks to you about how to have a good life. Study the Word. It speaks to you about working at a job. Paul told him if it didn't work, then we didn't eat. That's the way we'd say it. Hello. See, this is God giving you a vision for your future right here when you study the Word. Now, he will speak to you in many ways, many times, and he will give you a vision. But he wants you to realize that you need to become a living example for the next generation. Habakkuk 2:2-4 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The vision that God has for us to live has been written down. Hello. And it says the just shall live by faith. That means you believe it, you act like it's so, and you live it. You know, the vision may take a while to come to pass. I want you to notice that with Joseph, it didn't come to pass overnight. With Paul, it didn't come to pass overnight. In your life, as you follow the vision from the Word of God, it will not come to pass overnight. But as you keep your faith in what God said and believe what God said and don't let any of the distractions turn you away. You see, I think that God, it says that there in the, Paul says that what happened in the Old Testament happened as examples for us. And I think maybe he was talking because he saw what happened. What Joseph there, he was a student of Jewish history and Joseph went through some things, but it didn't distract him. Paul went through some things, but he did not allow it to distract him from accomplishing what he was called to do. We cannot let the Satan and the things, distractions that he brings into our lives deter us from following the Word of God and the will of God for our lives. You know, all I knew was that God said to come to work for Kenneth Hagin Ministries, leaving the church where I was destined to become the pastor, coming to work at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but I had no preaching responsibilities. Everything I had was called, I said crusade director, but that's what I was, traveled on the road. Everything I did was more administrative and setting up crusades and all of that sort of stuff. You know, looking at contracts from different venues that we would rent to hold the meetings in and so forth. Now, I just know I was come to work here, but I knew there was more, but I didn't know what it was. But when he said we're going to start Rhema, our Bible school, then we named it Rhema, Lynette and I knew exactly what was going on. Then I began to have a vision for the word of faith that the mandate had been given to my father, go teach my people faith. I began to see how that was possible all through the Bible school. You know, now, as that all began to unfold, there were many things that tried to distract. Actually, way back before he ever said we're going to start the school, the enemy tried to distract me to get away, and start my own ministry. Then we got the school going, and man, there's everything out of the world tried to keep us from going. Now, why am I? I'm not using you. What I'm trying to show you is that as you follow God, He will lead you and guide you. You may not understand everything that you went through to get to where you're going. And I'm sure Jim won't mind me and Faye won't mind me sharing this, but they got out of Raymond. They went to Central America. And they went, some other place. And they finally wound up where they were supposed to be, in Peru. But they didn't get there immediately. They went through some things. And I know I've talked to them before. Some of the things that they went through prepared them for what they did when they finally got there. Is that not correct, Brother Jim? I know you and I have talked about this. What I'm trying to show you is, listen, as you live your life for God in line with the Word of God, you may never be called to preach, but you're all called to ministry. Every member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a minister. And the greatest ministry, I think, personally, is the ministry of helps. And it talks about it right there in the Word of God, right along with all the other ministry gifts that are behind the pulpit. See, God wants to direct you and guide. He wants you to have a good life. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I want to tell you what, the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to keep you from having abundant life. There will be times of hardship. But I want to tell you what, when you realize that God has said what the end will be, you can walk through the tough times. Hello. See, we need to look. That's why the vision right here is written down. That's why it's written down for us. Because as we read it, have the right outlook. Okay? And then we can be successful in obeying God, and then we can accomplish what God has for our lives. The just shall live by faith. You see, to get to where I am today started when I was 9 years old and I accepted Christ and then received the Holy Spirit. Has there been distractions? Has there been places that I didn't do so well and so forth? Yeah. But as I continued to walk with God, Then just do what the Word of God says. Live for Him. Then things begin to unfold. You see, Bill Ray sitting over there. Bill came. He was a college graduate from Rutgers. Went to work for. Went to Bible school here. Came here, go to Bible school, went to work for FedEx. I don't know whether he went after he got here or before he got here. I don't know. And he was working for FedEx and involved here in the church. And he was very successful in his job at FedEx. They even tried to promote him. I found out that's all about later. But the Lord, I mean, he was working in the helps ministry here in the church. And the Lord began to talk to me. I told Annette, I said, you know, I believe God has a plan for Bill with us. And I finally, it took me a while, but I finally went out to eat with him and talked to him about it. And I told him, I said, would you pray about maybe coming on the staff? And he said, I don't have to pray about it. He said, I've been praying and I know the plan. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew I was going to ministry. And so he didn't even pray. He said, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'll give FedEx my, he told me right there that December, we did that in December. He gave them immediately, gave him them his resignation because he was in an executive position over four states, I think it was here, over all the FedEx offices all over here, Oklahoma, Arkansas, I don't know where else. And he had to give them time. And he said, I'll be to work on February 1, I believe it was. You see, now he started out with God, and you probably have heard him preach here and talk about his testimony, how he had, I think it was a Volkswagen car he had or some kind of car he had. He's talked about that thing. A Falcon. Yeah, it was a Falcon. That's what it was. And, he got turned on to God and so forth and so on. But he just started following God. He didn't know all the plan. He just knew that God had something. And what I'm trying to show you is that you need, and then many people, they just follow God in the plan and this led to ministry. But Charlie Daniels said him back there, he was successful in building. And he said, this is not it. He come to Rhema. Then he had, and God got, see, he didn't know why God got him to Rhema for all those, it was to help build this campus. That's what it was, this building and others. And now he is out building churches all over the United States. What I'm trying to show you is, hey, if you just follow God, it may be a ministry position. It may not. It may just be in business Charlie is back there. Hello. And then you got, what am I trying to get across to you this morning? I'm trying to get across to you that God wants you to be successful, follow the vision that he has written down here for you in the Word of God, and then let him lead you to whichever or wherever he needs you to be. God does not need all preachers. God needs others. Little did Scott Redmond back there, Captain Scott, little did he know that when he come to Rhema, got involved in aviation, that he would be piloting Rhema's plane all over the world, carrying me to preach the gospel, him along with Dave, Captain David Fusel. I don't know where Dave is, but I see Scott sitting back there. There's Scott right there. Wave at us, Scott. There's brother. He didn't know. I mean, he went to Rhema. You see his kids. Christy was up here playing the keyboard. You see Daniel up here playing the guitar. He just stayed around here because God didn't tell him to leave. He told him to come here. And he flew airplanes. But the day come that Rhema needed a pilot, another pilot. He was ready. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you today? God has plans for you. You may not understand them. And there may be hardships. And there may be difficulties. Okay? But I want you to realize that if you just marking time, walking through life, it's like Proverbs 29, where there's no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I like the Message says it. If people can't see what it's going to do, they stumble and fall all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I like that. See, if you can't just look in the Word and see what God's doing with you, you're going to stumble all around and bang here and bang there and stumble around. But when you attend to what he reveals to you personally and through the Word of God, then it says they are most blessed. What does vision give you? It gives you insight. It gives you direction. Vision helps you not to get stuck in a rut with a dead end. You know, God wants you to follow him in everything he says in this word, believe the word, the vision that he's written there for your life and have more abundantly, and then to follow him as he leads and guides and directs you. See, some of you have been around here for a long time that you're supposed to be here. That's where God's got you, doing what you're supposed to do. And some of you have come back. Hello? And some of you that have, especially some of you on my staff that have come back, you had to go out and learn some things and then so you could come back and be on staff. Yeah. Doug Jones was with me from the beginning, and when Rhema started, he working in a factory up there in Michigan. God told him to come to Rhema. He didn't even know what Rhema was. And then besides that, he's a month late. 2 months late. 2 weeks late. Okay, whatever it was. Anyway, he is late. But I grabbed him out of Bible school because I had to have some people to help me. We went out on the road with Dad that day. He said the church wasn't going. I grabbed him and I told him, you're going to operate a camera, and tried to. And I did finally get him to him see some of the services, but he couldn't lead music. He tried. It was bad. He'll admit to that himself. But then he was here with us for a while doing some things, and then he went out. And he came back. But you see, as he followed these things, he came back. Now he's doing what? Something that he could have never done if he hadn't have followed that plan. Now, most people didn't understand it. I didn't understand it at the time. But I do now. What is all of this that I've said for whatever how many minutes it's been? 45, I think. What is this meant to you? Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? God has plans for you. Stay with them. No matter what happens. John Grunewald sitting there. It's become one of our strong Rhema leaders, actually all over the world, really helping with our Bible schools. I mean, he went to Europe and he's over there, and he had to call to Europe and the rug got jerked out from under him, and he didn't know, but he had been pastoring. He was just following God. He didn't realize what all was going to happen. But as he looks back on it, because I've talked to him about it, he can see where it led him to being what he's doing now. Why? You see, I've used business. I've used ministry. It's all important. As you follow God's plan, everybody is not going to be in the pulpit ministry. I don't care if you did go to Rhema. But God will have you somewhere doing something. Roger Sharp grew up in the Pentecostal church, used his voice for singing group, but then he went in and was a fireman. Went all the way to become the assistant fire chief and retired from Tulsa. Then he come to Rhema. After all that, he'd been in church all of his life. Like me. He'd been involved in ministry, but the Lord told him, come to Rhema. That's great, you know. When he came to Rhema, he had retired already. And he would just, you know, he had no idea that he would be where he is today. He just following God. Hello. Greg Finley, he come to Rhema. He retired as a Marine. Come to Rhema. You can tell he's a Marine. Look at his haircut. He come to Rhema just to be here because God told him to. And now he's helping around here and doing different things. And, you know, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, follow God. Stay put where he put you until he puts you somewhere else. Don't try to make it happen. Now I'm going to go back for just a minute. God gave me the vision for Rhema back when he said it. Dad said it. Then in 1980, the vision expanded from the U.S. to the world. I said, we're going to have Rhemas all over the world. I tried to make it happen. Should have just kept my mouth shut and let God do it, because that's what Joseph tried to tell his brothers everything, and he messed everything up. He might not have had to go through all the mess he went through if he had kept his mouth shut in the first place. But I said, we're going to do it. So I said, and you know me, I just go after it, you know. If I'm going to do something, do it, everything I got. And so I tried to make it happen. It didn't work. Messed up. So I just shut it down. And 20 years later, it started happening. And it's still happening. The vision was always right. But I tried to do it. Joseph tried to make it happen. What am I saying? You got the vision. Just stay still doing what you can do where you can do it. That's what I did. I just stayed still with Rhema from 74 to 2000. Just stayed still. Go out, preach on the week, teach at the school during the week, go out on the weekends and preach, come back and teach. Same minute graduation is over, everything was loaded, and here we hit the trail. Because I was an evangelist, we'd stay out there June, July, August, come back, start Rhema. Then the Lord said, start this church in 85. I had no idea I was surprised when the first service we had 800 people show up. And you see, we started this campus with that building on the corner and half of the building behind it we call Rooker Memorial Auditorium and 6 acres in 1976. Today we got 110 acres and I don't know how many buildings. Did I see all of that to start with? No. I just saw that there was a plan. And I started following the plan. That's what you need to do. And as you follow the plan, I will come in and I will show you more and more and more. And some of you need to get quiet and just stay where you're at until I tell you to do something else. Because until you are quiet with where you're at, I can't move you to somewhere else. And there are some of you that are where you're supposed to be, and this is where you will stay. So hook up and begin to move with me, and you'll see great rewards, and you'll begin to reap the benefits of following my plan for your life. And you will come out in the end and say, wasn't it great? I am so glad that I followed his plan. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Now that's not written down here anywhere. That's come from the Holy Spirit. Did anybody get anything out of what I said today? God has plans. You need to learn to follow them. They may not be like you thought they would be. Not for me, it's that way. It's not like I thought it'd be. Hello. But as you follow him, you'll see that when it's all said and done, you will be where you're supposed to be. And it will be a glorious time. Hallelujah. Father, today I've just talked to these people out of some notes and out of my heart. But it's so important that we realize that we must stay hooked with you if we're going to see the benefits of the word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.